Well, let's open as we do. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 3 and verse 16. And let's read that together, verses 16, 17, and 18. Let's read those verses together out loud. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hallelujah. One thing we can see from these scripture verses, if you'll believe, you won't perish. But if you do believe not, if you don't believe, it says you will perish. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles this evening. I know we went over there, but let's take a look at 3 John. Let's look at that scripture for a moment before we jump in. 3 John chapter 2, I'm sorry, 3 John and verse 2. And starting in verse 1, it says, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, beloved. He's talking to the church here. I wish above all things, or it says pray, above all things, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. And one of the things that we are, I believe it's in Proverbs, is it Proverbs 6, I believe, verse 2, it says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Our thinking is key to our believing. And what we, our thinking can direct our believing, and our believing can have an effect on our speech, what we say. And what we say has a direct relationship on, what happens in our life, the direction in our life. And you can go over, I know you know these scriptures, but let's look at Proverbs for a moment. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 4 and look at verse 23 and 24, or just I'll look at 20 instead. It says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all thy flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, your heart, are the issues of life. And if you look up that word issues in this case here, if you looked it up in the Strong's Concordance, that word issues means ends or extremities or boundaries. So the boundaries of your life are determined by what's coming out of your heart. So if you say, I'll never have this, you've set boundaries in your life. You've put spiritual laws in motion so that you will set boundaries. That's why so often we need to be the ones who are what the Bible says. We're to preach to the captives, because they're captive where? In their minds. And quite frankly, there are a lot of Christians who are held captive in their minds because of their circumstances. And they see, and they've based what they see, they say, well, that I'm stuck. We can't have this. We can't go here. We can't do this. Or it could be, I'm sick and I'm not going to get any better, or I'll have to deal with this the rest of my life. You've set some boundaries that God's word has not set. You've determined something that God has not determined. And so that's why it's important that we get our minds changed. What does it say? Be not conformed to this world, Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind, that you may do what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So as our minds are changed, then we prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. So I wanted to look at a few things this evening. Just two thoughts here this evening, because we're homing in on 9 o'clock here. So we just got a few minutes to just highlight a few things here, unless you all want to hang out. But... You know, it's all right with me. I hang with you. But I know some folks want to hang and go home and get in between the sheets and get a few hours sleep before they got to go to work. Amen. But a couple of thoughts here tonight. Two things. We need to esteem spiritual things above earthly things. Doesn't mean that we don't pursue earthly things, but you esteem the spiritual above the earthly. And when you even look at just that scripture we just read, it said here, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, and so forth and so on. And then when it comes down, it says, you know, let not them depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart. It's talking about spiritual things, for they are life unto those that find them, and then health to all your flesh. So the spiritual must come before the natural. So the spiritual things must be pursued before we see natural results. Amen? So when we're talking about prosperity, we need to set first the spiritual before we see things in the natural. Sometimes we chase after the natural. We get a second. I'm thinking about when I was in a lot of debt that I didn't create. No, I'm not being funny. You know, this was in a very difficult time of my life. I was going through a divorce situation, and I was subjected to a massive amount of debt. Person just went and just went, charge, check it. And so there was a massive amount of debt that I was faced with. And so in that situation, I thought, because I had bill collectors calling, I needed to get a second job. Because naturally, I didn't want to be irresponsible. And I had bill collectors calling constantly during the day. And I'd hang up. And they're calling you at work, harassing you. Now, they can't do that now, but they could then. And they were calling, harassing me, and cursing me on the phone. I mean, with some nice choice words. And me, as a young Christian, I wasn't too nice on the phone. I said, you what? I'm going to come right down there, and I'm going to tell you what happened. In one case, I did. I said, I'll be right down there, and I'm going to kick your so-and-so-and-so-and-so. I did. I'm not proud to say that, but they were cursing me on the phone. And I did. They had this collection agency down in Spring Valley, and I marched right through the front door. I did. Brassy as I could. And I said, I want to see the person I just spoke to on the phone, and I'm going to kick his... Because you got no right to speak to me on the phone that way. And so the person came out who was in charge, because they're not going to let you speak to the person. And he said to me, he said, well, I'll tell you what, it seems like you're the one that owes us money. We'll see you in court. And I thought at that point, you know, my little rocket mind thought, now, wait a minute, he is right here. Now, I'm in debt. They can sue me for the money. And now I'd be good. I get in a fight. Now I'm really in trouble. So I marched out, as they say, tail between my legs, and, you know, dealt with that. But the point was that in all of that, I did try to take a second job, and in that, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, I don't want you to work that second job. I want you to go to Bible study on Wednesday nights. And I'm like, what? You got to be kidding me. And I knew it was the Holy Ghost. You know his voice. And I did. And I bit my teeth the whole way. I'm like, okay, I'll obey. And little by little, I got out of debt because I obeyed him. And that leads me to the scripture verse that says, if you will be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. So sometimes there's things that the Holy Ghost will ask us to do that make no sense in the natural to us, but we've got to be willing and obedient. And when we are, we'll eat the good of the land. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. You know, we want to make it happen. We want to put our hands to it because it just makes sense. But he knows more than we do, doesn't he? Thank God. So the thing that I wanted to highlight tonight was you can look at some quick stories. We won't spend the time here, but I'll highlight them here, where Moses in Hebrews 11, of course you can go back and read the story, but in chapter 11, you don't need to turn there. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So he placed God and spiritual things above what he had. He was a second in command. He had access to everything you could possibly think of. And he chose to turn from it, you see. So you can see that he placed spiritual things, he placed God first. So we need to esteem earthly things lightly in comparison to spiritual things. Let's turn a moment over to Deuteronomy 28, and we're just going to just quickly turn there. Deuteronomy 28. And when you look at the first 14 verses, again, the point is we're setting spiritual things above natural things, higher. What does it say? And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So here's the point. We're setting God, his direction, above our earthly needs and wants. We're placing him first. Whatever he says, we do. That's the point. Proverbs 3:9. Proverbs chapter 3, and let's look at verse Proverbs 3 and verse 9. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. What does verse 10 see? There's a colon after the word substance. That means the thought continues. Whatever comes after that pertains to what we just said. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Why? Because I honored the Lord with my substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. That's why, folks, sometimes I've heard Pastor Sarah say it for years to people that would call her and ask her, you know, hey, I'm struggling. I don't know what's going on. The first thing she will ask them is, the very first thing, what will she ask her? Thank you. Are you tithing? And when they say no, they say, well, you may want to consider changing that. Bring the first fruits. What does it say right here? Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. That's placing spiritual things first, God first. Then what happens? Because you did, natural things are affected. You're blessed. And so you can see here that the physical prosperity depended upon the spiritual. Did it not? Back up to Psalm 1, same thing. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is what? In the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he what? Meditate day and night. Spiritual things first. And then what happens? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. I like this. And whatever he doeth, he gonna prosper. That means, did it qualify anything there? Did it say this area or this area? It said whatever you do. Whatever. As they say, whatever cotton-picking thing you put your hands to, you're going to prosper. Isn't that the truth? So if we're not prospering in everything, we need to back up and look why. What are we doing? Could be. And this, putting the spiritual things first might be we're not meditating on his word day and night. We're so busy, we're not doing that. We're not, our soul isn't prospering. How is that? I'm so weighed down with the affairs of life that I'm not thinking like God's thought. I'm not thinking his thoughts. And what's the next thing? Go to Joshua 1:8. I know you know these scriptures, but we're just kind of going down this way here for a few minutes. But when your soul is prospering, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. That sounds like Deuteronomy 28, doesn't it? And it says, for then, see, we have a colon after the word therein. That means the thought's continuing. For then thou shalt what? Make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. I like some of the other translations. The New Living Translation says, meditate on it day and night so you may be sure to obey all that is written therein. Only then will you succeed. Wow. Only then will you succeed. And then the God's Word translation, I like this. See, this is where when we talk about meditating, Meditating is not just sitting there, but meditating, if you look the word up, the word means to mutter. It means to kind of say it over and over. You're kind of muttering things. You know, sometimes we think, well, that sounds, you know, kind of like strange to some people. Well, let's see. We sit and people mutter about their baseball teams. They mutter about their shows that they watch. They sit there and talk about it. They mutter it. They think about it, talk about it, don't they? Talk about it, talk about it. Right, talk about it. Right? They meditate about it. So when you look at the God's Word translation, listen to this. It says, never stop reciting these teachings. Never stop reciting these teachings. This is Joshua 1:8. You must think about them night and day so that you will faithfully do everything written in them. Only then will you prosper and succeed. So sometimes, I shared it this past Sunday, how I got over into a period of laughter. I had some symptoms in my body, and you heard me share how I just started to laugh and so forth. I like to share it because it reminds me sometimes of not swaying away from what he told me, because I can't stand before God and ask him or say to him, Lord, what's going on? He'll say, you doing what I told you? And I go, no, sorry, I'm wrong. See? Now, you may have an excuse because maybe he didn't speak to your heart like he did mine, but here's the other side. I'm telling you what he told me. So in that sense, you don't have an excuse, because what he told me was I was laughing at the sickness in my body, and I was speaking words against the sickness. And when the laughter subsided, I'm talking about a belly laugh, a Holy Ghost laugh. When that stopped and kind of died down, the Holy Ghost spoke to me very clearly about my finances, not my body. He said, if you will work the word in the area of finances like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. I'm telling you, at that moment, I made an adjustment, because I instantly knew what I was not doing. I was not doing what I, in the area of finances, I was not speaking it all the time. I was not reciting, muttering, saying what the word said about my financial prosperity. I wasn't saying it, as he said, like you're doing it in the area of healing. And you can go and read Brother Hagin's stories about how he got up off the bed of sickness, how he meditated in the word and confessed the word about his body, got up and was miraculously healed. But he writes that he was poor as all get out. You can read his stories. He said he did not know how to apply the word. The revelation was not there for him. He said it took him years to see it in God's word, that he could apply faith for finances like he was applying faith for healing. And I'm here to say all of us can come up another level in areas. We can apply our faith. We're to grow in faith. We're to develop faith. Sometimes, and we're going to move on here, because we're got a few minutes left. But sometimes there are laws. Not sometimes. There are laws of sowing and reaping. You can't reap what you don't sow. And I'm going to make that as simple as I can say it. unless you sow something, one of the problems that we have is that people are exercising their faith to reap something and they haven't sowed anything. And it's the same thing. There are people that are trying to reap in the area of their health and they haven't sown anything. They're in a problem. Their body's sick, they're terminal. And now they're trying to reap health, reap a healing, and they haven't sown to reap. I'm just speaking the truth. And it's the same thing. Sometimes we're not meditating in the Word of God day and night. We're not muttering the Scriptures and rehearsing them in the area of our health. And then we gonna go and reach out and reap something when we need it. He ain't planted nothing. Does that make sense? Because God's Word is the seed, and it's life, it's divine life. It will heal every time. He sent His Word and healed them. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. So it's key for our, what does it say? I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So we can prosper in both areas if our soul prospers. And we're going to have to increase, I guess I'll say it that way, increase or make adjustments in the amount of time that we do. And I'm speaking to me as much as you, because our lives can sometimes, I'll just say it this way, it can get out of control. I heard Brother Jerry Seville say this years ago, I'm talking about over 30 years ago. I was at a Kenneth Copeland conference. This is years ago. He said, ministry is like a freight train. He said, sometimes you need to just get off at a stop. And he said, pick it up down the road somewhere. He said, you need to get off, because otherwise, he said, you know, you're going to just be on this fast-moving train. You've got to take time and meditate in the Word of God. Because every single one of us, when we want to go reap and you haven't sown enough, you won't reap a harvest. You can't. This is a spiritual and natural law. You've got to plant something to reap something. And I purposed, if we apply God's principles, we will reap every single time. Every time. Not some of the time, every time. You've heard me say, I remember this years ago when I was home. I've been confessing the Word, you know, giving, sowing, super, you know, just sowing as many opportunities as I had. And I was confessing the Word concerning financial areas. And I heard the Holy Ghost say, I want you to buy Apple stock. Well, I wasn't investing in Apple stock. I wasn't investing much at all, not hardly anything. And at the time, Apple stock was $40 a share. Yeah, that's what I say. Because it makes me shudder. And it went up to $500 or $600. And I didn't obey. But I put myself, because of my words and my confession, I gave God something to work with so He could get money to me. But because it was not familiar to me, other than His voice, I did not obey. And He was trying to get thousands of dollars to me. Thousands of dollars. Because if I had put in what I had at $50 a share and kept it to $600 a share, I'd have had thousands of dollars. Now, they've since dropped, but they also split. Yeah, that'll make you feel some kind of way. So the point in all of that, not to be funny, but when we sow and we confess, we put ourselves, we give God something to work with, and he will open doors in your particular life a certain way to financially bless you. That's why, just turn over here and we'll end this for right now. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. That's why when you take the Word of God, what is the Word of God consider? What does it say it is? It's light. The entrance of his words do what? Giveth light, and it giveth understanding to the simple, right? Psalm 119:130, if you want to look that up on your own time. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And look at verse 4. See, when you think about this, you know, we all know this scripture, but when you think about this, Adam was the original God of this world. He was the original God of this world. Everything he had dominion over. He had dominion over the fish, the animals, the silver, the gold. He had dominion over it. And what did he do? He gave it all up to who? His adversary, the devil. And so what do you have? This is where verse 4 comes in. In whom the God of this world hath what? The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. I'm going to stop here for a second and ask you a question. Does this say he's blinded the minds of just sinners? No. He says, those that believe not. That can be both. And so this says here that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should what? Shine in unto them. So when the gospel will shine in and enlighten our eyes, give us wisdom, give us understanding in the what? In the knowledge of him, so that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, so what? We'll know what is the hope of our calling and what are the riches of the glory of our inheritance in him. And part of that inheritance is not just salvation, but it's prosperity and healing. Amen. So this New Living Translation, it says, Satan, the god of this evil world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe, so they're unable to see the glorious light of the good news that is shining unto them. They don't understand the message we preach about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. So it's important. I just feel prompted here to just keep saying this. We need to take time out of our day. I believe the Holy Ghost is saying this, that we need to just take more time. You say, well, I don't have time. You can take, if you just start with 5 minutes, 10 minutes, take that 5 or 10 minutes and begin to take one or two scriptures that concern, I'm talking about here, prosperity, and find scriptures and begin to say and confess that. When I didn't have much, I began to say, I have this, and this, and this, and this. I would say it. And you know what my mind would say? You're crazy. You'll never have that. That's not possible. No, my mind would say that. And I'd say, well, I believe what God's word says, and I'm going to say it and believe it in my heart. And over time, opportunities opened up for me to have it. Now, the opportunities afforded me are going to be different than the opportunities afforded you. But the opportunities will come. If you meditate in the Word of God, and what does it say? Recite them daily. then and only then will you prosper and succeed. That means there's no limit to what you can have or do. See, so often we hear people say, well, I can't afford to live here because I'm on a restricted income or I'm on a limited income. Guess what? You're limited. You will be restricted. And people will say, well, yeah, but you don't understand. I don't understand, but I do know this much. God's word is forever settled in heaven, and it will work. If you do what? Mix faith with it and believe it. And so that's what I'm sharing. Just another scripture. We'll close with this. Luke 6:38, it says what? Give, and it shall be given unto you. So let me ask this question. What comes first, the and given unto you or to give? So the give comes first, and it shall be given unto you, right? So you say, well, give it unto me, right? Give first. You got to give first. And who said this? Jesus did. Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. That just means to the measure or to the degree that you give is to the degree that you will reap. So as we reap, it's going to be to the measure that you gave. You know, some folks, and I know it's the world, they criticize some people. It doesn't have to just be ministers, but it can be anybody who they say, well, you know, they're so blessed. But what they don't know and what they don't publish is how much they give. And I'll tell you the truth, the principles work because they're spiritual. If a person who's not saved exercises those principles, you see people in the world who they call, these are philanthropists and they got all of this money and they're giving, 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 but they're also reaping, 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 reaping. And so we ought to just be smart enough to see, okay, I need to meditate in God's word and I need to sow and apply and obey his word. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. That's all we're going to share. Glory to God. Glory to God. I just feel so impressed to say that again. Joshua 1:8, it says, never stop, this is God's word translation, never stop reciting these teachings. You must think about them night and day so that you will faithfully do everything written in them. Only then will you prosper and succeed. And when we talk about the God of this world blinding the minds, when you think about this, when it says in Colossians that his power has been spoiled. So when you just think about that, the devil's power has been broken here in this earth. But because he blinds the minds of those that believe not, they don't know he's toothless. He roars, and they, first of all, they don't even know he exists. He's a caricature with a tail and a fork. But they don't believe he's really real. So he's blinded them there, and then he's blinded them to the fact that he's big and bad. You got one camp that believes he's a cartoon, and you got another camp that's involved with him in witchcraft and makes them think he's big and bad, but he's defeated, he's been dethroned, he's been stripped of his power, and we're to do what? We're to go out and set the captives free. and we're to help people. And so when you hear people share things that, you know, sound like they're entrapped in their own thinking, help their thinking. Don't criticize them. Help them. Point them to the gospel. Tell them that, look, the devil's been defeated. You can prosper in Christ. That's our inheritance. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word this evening. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for this few moments that we have to remind ourselves of your word and your faithfulness. And Father, we take this moment to thank you again for this place that we have to fellowship. Thank you for our new home. And we thank you, Father, that it shall come to pass. Father, even at times when it doesn't look like it, you have said, and I'm going to believe you, and we're going to believe you, that this place is too small. You have said, through Dr. Frederick Price, 25 years ago, you said that this place, actually 30 years ago, in 1990, 25 years ago, you spoke through him and said that this place we wouldn't stay in because it's too small. And so you have a place. You've begun to show us where. And we thank you for it. We believe we have the money for it. It's already been determined. And no man can obstruct it because you've destined it and designed it. And we thank you and mix our faith with that and believe that we shall prosper in this area. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.